Hey there, and welcome back to the Caregiver's Lounge, where care comes with conversation, compassion, and just the right touch of humor. I'm your host, Shantae, and if you're here, it means you're probably caring for someone else and maybe needing a little care for yourself. So take a breath, pull up a seat, and let's talk. Welcome back to the Caregiver's Lounge, your refuge, your reset, your reminder that you still belong to yourself. I'm your host, Shantae, and as a certified life coach and a very good friend to some, I often talk about the power of pausing, because sometimes clarity doesn't come from just pushing harder, it comes from listening deeper. And I know for the past few episodes, I've been talking to you about what we do for our loved ones, and I mentioned self-care, but this episode is a little different. This episode is not a lecture. It's not going to be a list of tips. Pretty much, it's something for you. It's an invitation. It's an invitation for you to reflect on something that often gets buried beneath the care, the task, the exhaustion, doing for everyone else but yourself. This is about your passion and your purpose. And I'm going to say that again, instead of purpose, your purposes, because I believe we all have more than one purpose in life. So with that said, join me in the Caregiver's Lounge. So taking time to focus and reflect, especially in the middle of caregiving, isn't just self-care. It's soul care, something that's deep down in you. It's one of the ways that we can uncover or even reconfirm what we're passionate about and why we show up the way that we do. So if you're listening to this while you're walking or you're in the car, you're folding laundry, or you're working on a project with it playing in the background, I do that sometimes with podcasts or even series on television. You don't have to do all of this at once, but what you can do, you can just think about if something stirs you up, something makes you sparkle a little bit, like, hey, that's something to think about. You can just come back, pause, and let it speak to you. Okay. That's what you can do. So I encourage you to just listen, take it all in, and then you can always come back if there's something specific that you want to pull from this. So one of the ways that I help people figure out their passion and purpose is a series of questions. You don't have to really answer all the questions, but some of them will help you figure out what you're passionate about, or it'll help you confirm what you're passionate about. It may even help you figure out what your purpose is as well. So here's how this works. Take one question at a time. I want you to pick one that catches your attention. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to tug at you a little bit, like, okay. So if you write in a journal or on your phone, I use like OneNote on my iPad, whatever you use to jot down thoughts for you, just write whatever comes to your mind with this question or questions. There's no wrong answer. This is for you. So when you've explored a few of the questions and your responses, start looking over your answers. Start to look to see if there's any themes. Are there moments of joy? Are there anything that you longed to do or to think about? Are there some truths that whispered louder than others? So as I remind my coaching clients, the answers are usually inside us. They just need space and permission to rise. And sometimes you just have to take that pause and take that minute to yourself. And I understand that you're really busy caring for your loved one. You're busy doing your job. You're busy taking care of life outside of your work and taking care of your loved one. So this is an opportunity for you to sit down wherever you do. Sit down somewhere, pause, and write. Even if it's on the porcelain god. Can I say that? I will. It's my show. Even if you're having that private time, just sit down and think about something. Take that pause and write this stuff down, or think about it and jot it down somewhere. Okay? So let's get into these questions. Again, you don't have to answer them all, but give yourself permission to explore. So you may get a question and you start to answer. You're like, yeah, I don't really like that one. Pick another one. Okay? So first, be present and focus when you start to answer these questions. So one of my favorite questions to explore is along the lines of thinking about a time when you were doing something and you lost track of time. Have you ever been working on something and you look up and it was nighttime when you started and then it was morning and you're still working on it and you weren't even thinking about getting sleep? You were just so deeply enthralled in that. So think about a time like that where you lost track of time. What was going on? What were you doing? And how did it feel while you were in it? And when it ended, how did you feel? And what made you get lost in it? I've had instances of this, and I know it's going to sound nerdy, but one of the things that I really enjoy working on is Excel spreadsheets. Now, that doesn't mean you need to call me with your Excel problems. People do that already. But like I said, I like working on spreadsheets. I like making them do amazing things. I have spent hours to develop something that would save me minutes, or not save me minutes, actually save me hours of time. And it'll change the process from something that could take a few hours to do. It could take a few minutes once we use the spreadsheet that I designed. And as you can see, I'm starting to smile as I talk about spreadsheets. I have no idea what that is. I'm a data person. So all that to say, I know that I like data analysis. I like creating templates or just creating a process that shortens time. That's something I'm passionate about. That's just one example. I'm passionate about a few things, but that's an example of when I was working on something and I was just lost in the time. Okay. So now let's think of another question to think about. What do you truly look forward to every week? What do you look forward to? So I'm just thinking, I mean, you're like, she's talking about spreadsheets again. But I just remember in one of my jobs where it was like, oh my gosh, there was this huge problem. The process to do this thing that we do every month was hours. Oh, it took all day to do. And I said, okay, I can't do this anymore. And I just remember I couldn't wait to get into the office and hash out these ideas I had to refine the process. Yeah. I looked forward to stuff like that. I look forward to taking complex things and simplifying them. I look forward to if it took five people to do it, I want to figure out how to do it with two. That's the kind of stuff that I looked forward to when I was working in corporate America. I do remember that. There's some things I look forward to now, though. I look forward to recording podcasts and looking at the camera and talking to the 1 to 100 to 1,000 to 100,000 people that are listening and watching. I look forward to that. I look forward to my voice acting. I look forward to that. I really do look forward to that every week. So just a few things, just sharing as an example to get you going. So what do you truly look forward to every week? Another thought to consider, I have this thing called complete this sentence. This sentence says, someone needs to design a better. So that's usually a complaint, right? You ever been somewhere and you're like, this is awful. Someone needs to figure out a way where we don't have to do this, or someone needs to design a better, and you fill in the blank. That may be something that is your purpose or your passion, or who knows, you'll talk to somebody and get it done. But all that to say, think about that. Someone needs to design a better blank. All right. So let's see, what else do I have in my notes? I have my notes here in front of me, so bear with me. Think about all the roles you have right now. So you are a caregiver for your loved one, maybe, maybe not, because I know now that we're talking about things other than caregiving, you don't have to be just a caregiver listening to this, do you? You are a partner. You are a professional of some sort. You are a friend. You are... fill in the blank, all these things that you are right now. If you could just keep one role, which one would it be? Now, if you're going to scrap the caregiving, you don't have to tell your loved one that you would scrap that, but still. And if you don't say that you're keeping the caregiving, it doesn't mean anything bad. It's just that that's not the higher priority of the thing that you really enjoyed. I understand that. That's fair. So which one thing would you keep? Okay. Another question is, this is along the lines of the someone needs to design a better, but now the question specifically is, what's something that grinds your gears or really annoys you? You'd be surprised what kind of ideas can come out of that question. So I didn't come up with the solution to this, but somebody did eventually. There was a time where you had to send emails and now text messages. You had to send them when you had to send them. Like you couldn't pre-send them or schedule to send them. Now you can schedule to send them. It used to grind my gears that I would have an idea and I would want to write a message to someone immediately. And I would want to send it on Sunday because that's when it hit me. And I'm like, no, you don't want to send it on Sunday because you don't want people to think that they need to respond to this or they need to do something about it. So when they came up with being able to schedule your messages, that was great. So whoever thought about that, that was an idea that I would have come up with. But what I used to do before we could schedule send messages, I would just type the email in the draft. So that was my invention for myself. I would type the email in the drafts and then in the morning I would get up and hit send. But yeah, so think about things in your life that grinds your gears and really annoy you. And for me, as I think about these questions, it's been confirmed over years and years and years. I'm about process and I'm about optimization and I'm about efficiency. I like to do things quicker, faster, better with less resources as possible. So I've kind of worked through this over the years with myself and with other people and just wanted to share that personal example with you. Now, this is interesting. Sometimes the clues are in your past. What is something you had to put on hold? Now, this question is huge to me because I remember sharing a statistic that a lot of caregivers have put their lives on hold or they turned down an opportunity. They may have put aside a business idea because of what they're doing and the time that they have. But even still, let's think about that. What is that something that you had to put on hold for whatever reason? Because that may be the thing you're supposed to do now or eventually when you do get the time to do it. I remember that I had these ideas. And what's interesting about it is sometimes you get the idea and it's overwhelming. It's a great idea. And just because you got that idea today, it doesn't mean that you have to run off with it today. I've had ideas implanted in me 10 years before I actually did something with them. And I'll give you the perfect example too, is I actually purchased web addresses and had them. I purchased them like real estate. There was a time that I did. I would buy a URL because it was a cool one. I'm like, oh, one day I can do something with it. I didn't know what that something was, but I bought the URLs. It was kind of like real estate. They actually do have value eventually. And then years later, when I started my own businesses, I was like, oh, what am I going to name them? At the moment, I'm like, duh, you have these URLs, you have the names already. And so I use those names for my businesses. So I had to put it on hold because at the time I was working a full-time job. And lo and behold, when something came about and changed all of that, I was able to go back to what I was supposed to do. So here's another question for you. As a kid, what did you dream of becoming? Now, I'm going to date myself, but back in the 80s, I remember just wanting to be a doctor or a lawyer. I don't know what that was about where I grew up. It was like that just seemed like that was the only successful job that we could get. There was no other jobs out there but being a doctor or a lawyer. So far from being right on that one. But again, as a kid, what did you dream of becoming? I know nowadays kids dream of becoming influencers. They can become so many different things. Their eyes are open to so many different avenues. So as a kid for you, what did you dream of becoming? Okay. Another question to think about, what job do you have now and how close is it to that dream? I can say that nothing that I'm doing today is close to any dream that I had as a kid. So that may work for you, that may not work for you, but the only thing that I can think of as far as making a connection is going to be in the next question. What did you get in trouble for most as a child? Something you're passionate about, right? Think about that. So what is something that you would get in trouble for most as a child? I will tell you that I always got in trouble for what? Talking too much. all the way from kindergarten to the 12th grade, my report card would say, "She's a good student. She just talks too much." Fast forward to 2025, and for 7 or 8 years, I've been getting paid to talk. Paid to talk. And I do remember something from my childhood too. I remember being asked to read out loud. Oh, it used to bother me so much. It bothered me so much. And then fast forward to now as a voice actor, I'm reading. I'm actually doing audiobooks too. So I'm reading out loud and getting paid for it. And I actually enjoy the voice acting work. So, all right. So this last group of things to think about, let's take a moment to imagine. Let's imagine if you had unlimited time and money, what would you do to help your family, your friends, to help strangers? If you had unlimited time, what would you do for free? Well, we know that you can't do it for free. You got to get paid for some of this stuff. Sometimes you can do it for free too. You can volunteer. You can actually fulfill your passions volunteering. Just because it's a passion doesn't mean you have to get paid for it. You can actually do things for free and still get a reward of some sort, a personal reward internally. You can get rewarded. Another thought to think about, if you woke up tomorrow and discovered everything in life was no longer free, what's the first thing you'd do? I never really thought of this question, so I think I'm going to actually take some time myself to think about that and see what my answer is. So I hope maybe you picked up one or two questions where you want to sit down and journal and just write down what comes to mind for you. Know that you don't have to solve your whole life in one episode, okay? But maybe today we opened the door to something in you that was forgotten. Maybe there was a dream, a truth, a quiet flame. I want to remind you that you still matter, okay? You still have a voice. You still have to bloom, even though you're doing everything for everyone else. You still need to bloom. You still need to be doing things for yourself. So you can close your eyes, stare into space. I'll give you a quick mini meditation in my voice. Here's the meditation for you. Even in the giving, you deserve the growing. Even in the doing, you deserve the dreaming. May your purpose ground you and your passion light the way. So, until next time, this is your Caregiver's Lounge, your moment, and always a place for you to do something for you. See you next time. Thank you for listening. Don't forget, you can drop a comment or send an email to caregiverslounge@icloud.com. And we also have a private Facebook group.